So the question is, what does it mean to suffer with Christ? And it has three basic meanings: to suffer with Him, to suffer with Him, and to suffer with Him. I'm not being flippant. I can suffer with somebody by coming alongside of them in their suffering. And I identify with them and I suffer with them. That is one meaning of suffering with Christ. I identify with the sufferings of Christ in my own suffering. Okay, that's one meaning. There is another meaning though. I suffer with Him. Okay, that means that, for example, suffering with somebody in the negative sense, you could think of it as, I have a rebellious teenager and I suffer with my teenager. Okay, in this sense, I suffer because of the call of God. God has called me to things, called me to places, called me to people, and the call of God brings suffering into my life, so I'm suffering with God. The third meaning is this: I'm suffering with God. In other words, I'm not suffering just with my pain. I'm not suffering with any hope that I have, perhaps. In my suffering, I have God there with me. And so I'm suffering with God. And all three of those points are important for me to remember as legitimate suffering that causes us to reign. If I suffer in only one of those points, I really don't have the fullness of suffering. We don't often think about that, do we? But there is actually a fullness to suffering. Christ experienced the fullness of suffering. I don't mean that I suffer in my entirety. That's not what I mean by fullness. I mean that I suffer in completion of God's design for suffering, in the completeness of that design. And so when we suffer, we want to suffer in fullness. We do not want to suffer only partial suffering. Because partial suffering is in fact the most difficult and the most incomplete. Let's say that I have partial suffering, and I'm suffering with Christ because of the circumstance that He has allowed in my life, in the calling of my life. So I suffer with Him. And if I suffer that way, without the fullness of God, then I'm really going to have a difficult time in my suffering. Because I'm going to see God as being hard. I'm going to see God maybe as a difficult taskmaster who doesn't give provisions for the things that He calls me into. And the reason is not because He hasn't given the provision, it's because I haven't recognized the provision. Let me explain how that works. Let's say, for example, that you're someone who's hungry. And you are perhaps just on the road and you're hungry. You have no home, you have no food. And you are walking along a road and you pass a loaf of bread on the ground. Let's say you didn't recognize that as being bread. Maybe you thought it was a rock. So you didn't pick up the bread because you thought the bread was a rock. You didn't recognize your provision. You didn't need to be hungry any longer because there was a provision along that road. But you thought it was something different. So you didn't recognize the provision. Okay, it happens like that in our lives sometimes also. That perhaps there's something going on and God brings a provision, but because of different reasons, perhaps because of immaturity, perhaps because of what we're focused on, perhaps because we're not discerning at times, for whatever reason, it doesn't have to be negative necessarily. Perhaps just because of the difficulty of the trial, and that difficulty has overtaken my senses. There are times when we may not recognize our provision. And I think if I become occupied with a trial, it's very easy for me not to recognize my provision. Do you know why? Let's go back to our example. Somebody is walking on the road and they're hungry. And there is a loaf of bread on the side of the road. It's like the person who becomes occupied with their trial is like the person who's walking on the road looking down at the road. Okay? That person isn't going to see a whole lot. They're going to see the road. Alright? And that's it. And they're going to identify the fact that they're hungry because they can feel it and they see the road. And say, okay, this is a hard road. It's producing negative things in my emotions. But all they see is the road. They don't see that just a few more, maybe inches or feet from the road, there's a provision for them. Because they're occupied with the road. Likewise me. When I become occupied with whatever is going on in my life, I won't recognize my provisions. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'll pass right by them. And it can happen to me that I get to such a weakened place, or what I perceive myself as being weakened, and then it tends to weaken me in my soul, often through my emotions. I get to such a weakened place that I may think to myself, I don't have the energy or the ability to turn from gazing at the road. That's a tough place to be. If I get to that point in my life, what I need to do is I need to basically understand that my experience is right now being dictated by the way that it feels. And I'm not saying that out of condemnation, it's just a matter of fact. That the experience itself is not causing me this suffering. That it's my perception of the experience that is causing me the suffering. And therefore, if I can change my perception of that experience, I will change the suffering. And that's how God gives me provisions. So let's make it practical. Let's say that I am in an extremely difficult situation in my life and it's worn me down. So I've been there for a few years. It's worn me down. And I don't feel like I can get out of it. It's just overtaking my senses. My emotions are filled up with it. My mind is filled up with it. I feel like I'm very weak in it. And I may say to myself, I don't have the energy for the provision. That is a mistake. It is not true. It is a lie. Satan projects these lies to people who are in wear-down processes, that they don't have the energy. It doesn't take energy. See, there's the difference. It doesn't take energy. Energy is not required for the solution. The solution provides energy. The solution in a situation like that is I stay close to God. How do I stay close to God? I continually get built up in His Word. That doesn't take energy. See, I may say to myself, I don't have energy to be built up, but I have energy to talk to people, or I have energy to read my magazines, or I have energy to look at the television programs, but I don't have the energy to focus on the Word. Again, this is a lie that was given by the atmosphere. If I have the energy to read my magazine or look at the television, I have the energy that I need to be built up in the Word. But I've bought into a lie. And the lie is that I'm not able, for whatever reason, to go to the Word right now. And I know that I could just push a button and receive a message. That's not, however, what I'm thinking of. I mean, I don't have the energy to assimilate what the message says, to focus on it, or even perhaps to tolerate it. Well, then you have much more energy than you realized. If I can fight against the initiations of the Holy Spirit such that I can grieve Him or quench Him, I've got lots of energy. It's just, where am I spending it? And I would say that's often where we find ourselves. That we actually, in truth, have lots of energy, but we spent it in the wrong places. And the notion that I can't go to the Word to receive from it in my condition is a lie that the devil has planted in my mind through a projection. Receiving the Word is profoundly easy. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So what does that tell me? That receiving the Word doesn't require energy, it doesn't require effort, it produces rest. How do I lie down in still pastures? Right? Green pastures by still waters. How do I lie down in green pastures? What does that mean? I lie down in green pastures means I simply rest. I don't try to do anything, and I receive the Word. I don't try to produce anything. I don't try to do anything. I don't try to go anywhere. I don't try to be anything. I simply relax and I receive. And I relax and I receive. I don't worry about the circumstances. Yes, there may be times when I have to deal with them anyway, but I don't become occupied with them. I just relax and receive. That's the extent of it. When I get to that place, it energizes me. But it doesn't energize me like the other energy does. It energizes me by taking me, not me going, but it takes me closer to Him. And now I have a new ability that I had lost. The ability to think with Him. The ability to have perhaps peace that passes understanding. Now I start to experience other portions of the completeness of suffering. Because what is the completeness of suffering? Okay, I suffer with Christ. As one say, I can say to myself, I identify with Him. That's fine. The suffering we're explaining is I suffer in the plan of God, so I'm suffering with Him. Just like with a person. This person is giving me a hard time, essentially. I'm suffering with him. In that respect, you could say God has given me a hard time. Because it is it's a divine hard time, but it's because He has brought the suffering to me, or brought me into it in part of His plan for my life. So I'm suffering with Him, but if I simply say to myself, well, I'm identifying with the suffering of Christ, that's useful. It can bring comfort, it can bring purpose. Comfort and purpose are absolutely vital in suffering. If I have no comfort and I have no purpose in suffering, then suffering is hopeless. So when I'm identifying with Christ in my suffering, with His suffering, there's my purpose. And so that produces great hope in my life. That produces great meaning to the suffering. And if that suffering has hope and meaning, then that produces in me capacity to walk with God, to live with God in that suffering. But there's that third part also. Suffering with Him, as in He is present with me. And that is important in the completeness, because that is the provision for the suffering. I always want my suffering to be in all three manifestations of with Christ. The first manifestation may seem the most difficult, suffering because He's brought it into my life. Let's put it this way, would you rather suffer without Him having brought it into your life? Because some people do suffer that way. They suffer things that are not from God, that have no purpose, that is, you could say, illegitimate suffering. Suffering because they walked away from God, perhaps. That kind of a thing. Well, that's illegitimate suffering. So that is a suffering that is truly without hope. Because there's no provision, no reward for it. Because it didn't come from Him. It came from ourselves. Or the result of our walking away from Him. Things like that. But it's, if I have suffering because He has brought me into it, what is suffering that He brings me into? It can take on different forms. I think one of the most common forms is suffering in our physical health. You have a person who is living with God to the best of their ability, and all of a sudden, they lose their health. Well, that's incredible suffering at times. But that person was walking in the plan of God, and they walked right into suffering in the plan of God. And so because you know it's in the plan of God, you can also identify with Christ in the suffering. You have the comfort of knowing that it's not your own doing. That there's an eternal plan and an eternal purpose. What is that eternal purpose? That's the second component of suffering. That I may identify with His suffering, that I may in all aspects of my life identify with Him. Why would I want that? Because I'm being conformed to His image. Now, being conformed to His image is not a superficial thing. Being conformed to His image means that I'm being transformed into who He is as a manifestation of Christ, possessing the character of Christ. And that can only take place in its fullness if this component of that is present also, that I identify with Him. And so we have to learn how to do that. We have to learn that in our sufferings, we are identifying with the suffering of the Savior. Not just to say, oh, I'm identifying with Him because He's my buddy. No, because I'm identifying with Him because He is becoming my identity. Now, if I look at suffering that way, then ultimately I will also look at everything else that way. I'll look at the fact that my joy is identifying with His joy. Right? My burden is an identification with His burden. What I'm occupied with becomes simply an extension and an identification of what He is occupied with. Even the details of my life become an extension of the concerns of His heart. And so, in all things, I'm changing into the identity of Christ. And suffering is one of the things that God uses, along with a few other things, but you have components that are vital. You can't leave one out. And this is a vital component. It's like trying to have a car with no engines and saying, well, I have a wheel and I have a steering wheel and I have the seats and I have the chassis and I have everything. There's even gas in the tank. Why won't it go anywhere? Because it doesn't have an engine, dear. Well, I don't need an engine. I've got everything else. It looks like a car. Yes, but it doesn't function like one, does it? It functions like a sofa. And so, this suffering is a vital component of our transformation into the image of Christ, into the identity of who He is in this present world. So that element where I am suffering with Him as an identification to His suffering is crucial as well. Recall that all suffering is a question of perception. That gives you the idea of how important those perceptions actually are, because it's the perceptions themselves that transform me into who He is. The just do live by faith, after all. And so those perceptions are key. Well, I have this perception in my life, and now I'm being transformed according to my perception. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, the third part is I'm suffering in the presence of God. I'm suffering with Christ. If I'm suffering in the presence of God, that means that I've always have a tremendous provision for that suffering. But I've always had the Comforter there and His faithfulness in that suffering. That means I'm always in a place where there is someone to turn to. I always have a source. I always have somebody there to not just encourage me, but build me in the suffering. I have an outcome to the suffering, because the one who brought me into the suffering, who is transforming me into His identity in the suffering, is present with me in that suffering also. And so now, not only do I have purpose, not only do I have hope and provision, I have a source. And that is huge. That means I've always got some comfort. I've always got someone to run to. I've always got somebody to talk to. Even if I'm entirely alone, I'm never alone. Even if everyone forsakes me, I'm never forsaken. Even if everyone abandons me, I'm never abandoned. Even if everyone rejects me, I'm always accepted. Why? Because He's right there with me. Not only that, but I always have someone to call to. Things are getting difficult and I have a Savior there. And He hears me and He keeps me and He takes care of me. And I'm aware of this and I draw near to the realization and I practice the experience of it. What do I mean by that? In other words, I take the realization, I put it into practice, and I receive the experience of His presence. When I have the experience of His presence, what else do I really need? I mean, He has made all things. He created. I mean, He's the source of all things. He supplies all my needs. He is my comforter. He is my friend. He is my Lord. He is my guide. He keeps me. What else do I need? He's better than Dad, and Dad's pretty good sometimes. And if you don't have a dad that's pretty good, well, He's a really good dad. And so you have this fullness of suffering. What is really sad is when we suffer incompletely. Because that's just painful. But it's not entirely efficacious. Wasted pain. If you're going to have pain, don't waste it. But I do think that a lot of people waste their pain because they don't enjoy the suffering, and so they don't enter into the fullness of the suffering. And in my opinion, usually that takes place because they are too occupied with the suffering. And their perception becomes one of suffering, and that's it. It's not that the person who is occupied with Christ is not aware of the suffering. It's not all that he's aware of, however. Let's say you're a doctor. And actually, this was the experience of many doctors under the communist system when they socialized medicine in Europe in the late 30s under Hitler and then in the 40s under communism. They socialized medicine. My cousin was a physician in one of these countries. And he told me, it was in Eastern Bloc, and he told me that the quality of medicine had stopped in 1939. That their 1987 medical quality and the level on which they were capable of treating people was equal to that of 1939. Let's hear it for socialized medicine, right? Well, they had all the knowledge. They had all the knowledge. In other words, they could get the books, but they couldn't get the tools and they couldn't get the medicines. But they could get the books. And so you had these doctors who had the same knowledge as the doctors in the West, but they didn't have the same ability to apply that knowledge. It's incomplete. They knew how, but they didn't have the means to do it. They just knew how to do it. They knew what needed to be done. They just had no way of doing it. Well, that's like the person who suffers incompletely. They recognize that they are suffering, yes. They don't have any means or any provision in that suffering. But they recognize the suffering. They just can't do anything about it. Well, God didn't design suffering that way. God designed suffering, yes. And God designed it with a specific plan and a specific purpose and a specific way of it being carried out. And that suffering is always threefold. It's amazing how many things of God are threefold. Any idea why? Because God is triune. All three manifestations of the triune God are taking place in all aspects of our lives. Okay, you have the Father who brings the suffering, the Son that we are being conformed to His identity, the presence of the Spirit. Okay, we are suffering with Him. So once again, we have a triune God operating in our triune life. As humans with a body, a soul, and a spirit. So, often you find things in threes in the ways of God. The completeness of it is when I have a portion from each member of the triune God. If I try only to walk in the plan of suffering without the identity of Christ, or the presence of the Spirit in that suffering, it is truly a difficult path. Now, it is called suffering for a reason. I'm not saying that if I have the completeness of the suffering that it will change the fact that it's suffering. No, it will not. However, it will be the fullness of suffering, which is suffering, yes, with purpose, provision, presence of God, meaning, hope, all the things that we need in that suffering. But the fullness of suffering, I think, is sometimes neglected. And again, because we are staring at the suffering and the fact that we consider it to be undesirable. But while nobody chooses suffering per se, or most people don't, there was one who did. And it's like Warren Brand said, the only person in his life who could chose to suffer, think of the value that he saw in it. The value is in the fullness of it. If you lose the fullness of suffering, then you lose the value of it. And so we have to maintain that fullness. That yes, we are suffering because we have been brought into that suffering through the plan of God. And I'm talking about people who are walking in the light. I'm not talking about people perhaps who are actively living in sin or something like that. Because usually their suffering becomes a question of discipline. But I'm talking about people who are doing the best they can to walk in the light. They were brought by the plan of God into that suffering that was the work of the Father. The suffering came into their life so that they can become the identity of Christ. That's the work of the Son. But in that suffering, they are there with the presence of God intimately close to them, and that is the work of the Spirit. And all three have worked together to design suffering. Why? So that I could reign with Him. The result of the fullness of suffering is that I reign with Christ. They that suffer with Him will reign with Him. And so if I want to reign with Him for all eternity, I have to suffer in His fullness, in the fullness of with Christ.